So I'm going to have to ask to hit the next slide for me. Yeah, just hit down, since that's what happens when you depend on technology. Amen?
Amen.
All right, did I get 2 minutes extra? All right, here's the deal. One more. So here's a couple of passages of Scripture I want to engage with you. And this is not even our core one, but it's here, Ephesians chapter 1. This long run-on sentence the Apostle Paul gives us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us, here it is, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time. What is God's, the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time? Paul says, to unite all things in him. Things in heaven and things on the earth.
Yeah.
To sum up everything in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so even when you look at the rest of the letter to the Ephesians, and Paul starts talking about practical stuff and Christ breaking down the dividing wall of hostility in his body to make one new man from the two, he's not coming up with some, he's just applying what he said. What's the evidence that God, his plan has been revealed to unite all things in Christ? Jew and Gentile together in the church.
Amen.
One new people. That's the evidence to the world that God's plan has been revealed. Next slide, please. So, right, bring up the text for me. Peter Lighthearted gave this quote a couple of years ago when he was being interviewed for his book, The End of Protestantism, to commemorate the 500-year anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. And he talked about, he said this, he said, the church is a sign of a cosmic unity that all things are summed up in Christ. And the church is to be the visible communion of human beings that anticipates that ultimate union of all things in Christ. It is a living sign, he said, a community where that unity is already experienced in some degree. That this is, he says, in some respects, the whole point of redemptive history, that God is going to knit back the human race in his Son. And he says, when the church fails to be that proleptic reality of the eschatological union of all things in Christ, we are very deeply failing in the calling that we have been given.
Well,
that the proleptic reality, I had to look that word up for a second. Think about a forward-facing mirror. In other words, you look a mirror that's facing forward, you see a reflection of what is to be and what is coming when you look in that mirror. He said, this is the church is supposed to be this forward-facing mirror, a vision to the world of where Christ and the Lord is taking the world. He said, and when we're failing at that, we're very deeply failing in the calling that we have been given. Next slide, please. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 to 11. And here's where I'm going to pull... jump into the four things I want to share with you in my 20 minutes that I have left. Here it is, Colossians chapter 3. Verse 5, Apostle Paul again, verses 1 to 4, right? Since then you have been raised with Christ, he says, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on earthly things, as you've died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. And then he says, now, put to death, therefore, because of that, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old self with his practices. Here it is, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Here in the church, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Next slide, please. Here it is, the four things. Our new identity in Christ. You can bring up all four of them. I want to talk about the pretext for our core identity, the partition of our core identity, the promise for our core identity, and the practice of our core identity. The pretext, the partition, the promise, and the practice. Next slide, please. Here it is. Bring up the first point for me, please. We talk about identity. What is it? What is identity? It's simply this. Who are we and how do we know? Who am I and how do I know who I am in Christ? Right? How do I know? Who am I and how do I know? The reality is, here is the deal. Before you bring up the next point, the reality is identity is actually a group project. Identity formation is a group project. There is no self-made person that gets their full sense of identity from themselves alone.
Amen.
I need the others around me to be affirming this identity that I have. Right? And so, next bullet point, please. So he says, right? You have put on, Paul says in Colossians 3, verse 10, you've put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. I need those around me to affirm this reality that in Christ I put on the new self, and in this new self there is renewal into the image of God. Here's my point. The core identity, yes, we're talking about our new identity in Christ, but our core identity is fundamentally this: that we are image bearers of the living God.
Yeah.
Our core identity is what God has said about us, that we are his image. And the reason we have to talk about our new identity in Christ is because the image is broken. But the pretext for our core identity is that we're image bearers. What God has said, the first thing he says about humanity, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And so, I love what Elaine Scarry, next bullet point please, says in her book on beauty and being just. She says this, she says, she's just talking about beauty in general, but she says, beauty brings copies of itself into being. It makes us draw it, take photographs of it, describe it to other people. And that's how I think about God. Our God is beautiful. Right? And in the very way Elaine talks about beauty bringing copies of itself into being, this is what God has done. Next slide, please. And so here's the reality. What is that? This is still the pretext for our core identity. Could you bring up both bullet points, please? The pretext for our core identity is that we are the image of God. But we are the image of God not just individually, but collectively as beautiful community, unity in diversity. Why? Because our God himself is beautiful community, unity in diversity. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are our God. One God in three persons. Image of God is, Herman Bobbing says, is much too rich for it to be fully realized in a single human being. However, richly gifted that human being may be, only humanity in its entirety, as one complete organism, summed up under a single head, he's talking about Jesus Christ, as prophet proclaiming the truth of God, as priest dedicating itself to God, as ruler controlling the earth and the whole of creation, only it is the fully finished image. The most telling and striking likeness of God. So, here's what else he says, because here's part of the challenge. We're about to move to from the pretext to the partition of our identity. I need that last bullet, sorry. Just to point out, he says, in God, too, there is a unity in diversity, diversity in unity. In the case of creatures, he says, however, we only see a faint analogy of it. Among us, unity exists only by attraction, by the will and the disposition of the will. It is a moral unity that is fragile and unstable. This is our problem. You and I, in our sinful nature, only find unity with the folk we are attracted to. Now, you know, there's some benefit. I'm attracted to my wife, right? That's good.
Amen.
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 But as it relates to humanity in general, he's right to say this is a unity that is fragile and unstable.
Yeah.
Why? Because my attractions change.
Yeah.
My attractions change. So even if you take a sports team, for example, I just came from Kansas City this morning where the city's all buzz because the Chiefs have a chance after 50 years to win the Super Bowl again, right? Say they win the Super Bowl, right? They were all going to say at the end of that, man, you know, we were all on the same page from training camp, man. We had this one goal. We were united towards, you know, right? Well, next year they're going to have to try to manufacture that unity again.
Yeah.
It's fragile and unstable. Okay, next slide, please. Partition. You can bring up all of the bullet points here. The partition of our core identity as image bearers took place in Genesis 11 at the Tower of Babel. This image is of a ziggurat mountain, which is what the Tower of Babel would have looked like. This is where God, right, because this is the last time humanity was unified. Completely unified. And we were completely unified in our sinful rebellion against God. And so the Lord came down in judgment and in mercy, because he didn't wipe us out, and created what I call functional ghettos. Now I get my sense of identity from my ghetto. I get my sense of identity from my group. My ethnic ghetto, my racial ghetto, my socioeconomic ghetto, my academic ghetto. We got a plethora, innumerable ghettos that tell me, that said the essence, this is the essence of who you are. See, grasp this, that there would have been, even without the fall, there would have been a rich diversity of human cultures and ethnicities even without the fall. Why? Because had we been obedient and multiplied and filled the earth and subdued it, you would have found different expressions, right, of cultures and living all across the world, but it would all have been united to the glory of God.
Right. Yeah.
The issue wasn't the difference. The issue is the sin. So, here's the pitfall of the partition of our core identity as image bearers, is that here's the thing. These identities outside of this core identity as image bearers of God, they are not the fixed markers we think they are. They shift. They shift and they move, as one sociologist says. Identities are not the fixed markers people assume them to be, but are instead dynamically constructed in the moment. So if my core identity is in my ethnicity, if my core identity is in my sexual identity, if my core identity is in my academic achievement, it shifts and it moves from day to day or even year to year. And there's no solid footing there. There's no solid footing there for our fractures. Next slide, please. So, bring up both all three bullet points. This is Dr. Alyssa Yukiko Whitebrock from Covenant College. She said this in her commencement address at the 2018 commencement for Covenant College. She says, sometimes we believe that dignity is a pie to be divvied up among us. We worry that if we grant dignity to one group's suffering or accounting of history, then there is less available for us. But this is foolish. We make God small when the reverse should be the case. For, after all, if Jesus is coming back to make all the sad things untrue, then the more sad things we know, the bigger Jesus must be to undo them. The cracks are already there. Calling out the brokenness does not diminish Jesus' power. It magnifies it. See, that's all I do. I just quote other people. I know what other people say and quote it. But because of this ghettoization of humanity, these reinforced behaviors that our ghettos give us, right, they create barriers. Right, to cross-cultural love and unity and diversity in our core identity. So very often, if it's in our power, we self-select. Next slide, please. Here it is. Here's the promise for our core identity. I got just about 8 minutes left. I'm talking fast. Bring up the text, please. What the fall destroyed was union and unity with God and with one another. But reunion is the story of Scripture.
Yeah.
Reunion is the story of Scripture. The words that we find in Scripture, renewed, reconciled, united, are the reversal of the fractures and the divides and the breaks and the partitions of life in this world and before God that is so still desperately needed. So here's the thing, right? Ibram Kendi wrote a wonderful book a few years ago, Stamped from the Beginning, The Definitive History of Racism, of Racist Ideas in America, right? But there's this other reality that what is also truly stamped from the beginning is that we are created for union and unity in Christ. Yeah. This is God's commitment. Do you understand? It's going to happen.
That's right.
You and I cannot stop it. So, next slide, please. Look at God's response. Two things I want to say. This is the promise for our new identity in Christ. The promise for renewal into our core identity as image bearers, right? After Babel, chapter 11, right, we see God's call to Abraham in chapter 12 of Genesis, right? And that call, right, he fractures humanity into ghettos. And in chapter 12, he gives the promise to Abraham. He says, look, go from your country, from your kindred, your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And here it is, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In you, this is God's promise for reunion and reconciliation and renewal in the seed of Abraham. You understand, it's not an accident that Genesis 12 comes after Genesis 11, the fracture of humanity. Well, what God had to do after all we could do is be unified in sin, is divide us up and then bring us back together.
Yeah.
This is God's promise. So we've already heard from Pastor Barry, Galatians chapter 3, Apostle Paul again. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's no male or female, for you are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring. Heirs according to promise. Heirs according to promise. This is God's response to our partitioning. And so listen, here's the last point. Let's 4 minutes and 40 seconds.
Work it out.
The practice of our core identity. Stephen Guthrie, here's another quote for you in his book, Creator Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the Art of Becoming Human. He says this, it's a wonderful thing, quote he says. He says, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is not an automated die press punching out stacks of Jesus copies one after the other. The Spirit's perfecting work is creative, and it is sensitive to the character of the material before Him. Those filled by the Spirit are one body of Christ, renewed in His image, yet varieties of services and diverse gifts are given by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. The work of the Spirit is both particularizing or diversifying and unifying. The distinctiveness of each member does not destroy the unity of the body. The unity of the body does not annul the distinctiveness of each member. The new creation will be beautiful, he writes, because there will be harmony and right relationship between God and humanity, among humanity, and among all that God has made. Each thing will be most truly what it is, and what is more and amazing, the utterly distinct character of each being will contribute to the beauty of the whole.
Amen.
And so what do we do in this practice? Back to that text. Next slide, please. Colossians 5. Remember what he says. You've been raised with Christ. Seek the things that are above. So what do you do? Put to death, therefore, he says, what is earthly in you, in y'all. These are plural yous. These are all plural yous in y'all, right? And then he says, put on then. Put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, there it is, Pastor Barry, forgiving one another. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which is the binding glue of harmony. The binding glue of harmony, right? And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell within you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him.
Amen.
These are the practices put on. What are the practices of our core identity? Put on as God's chosen, holy and beloved. Humility, kindness, compassionate hearts, bearing with one another. And this is, right, this starts in verse 12, which in verse 11 he says, because here in the church there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. So, how many of you know he can only say that because in the church in Colossae, you had Greek and Jew, barbarian, Scythian, slave. You had all of this diversity. He said, this is what it looks like to live into the renewed image of your Creator. These are the practices. Last two things in my 45 seconds. All right, can bring up all... Here, the challenges, like... The challenges to these practices are the lenses we wear. What are the lenses, right, as Pastor Barry said, when I look at somebody else, what am I seeing? Who do I see? Do I see an image bearer? Do I see someone who has this core identity as distinct and valuable and worthy of dignity and honor because God has said this is a fellow image bearer? One writer said, we don't see things as they are, we see them as we are. Very often we are not aware of the lenses that we're looking through when we see other people. And we make judgments that are not right or holy. Yeah, I got you. Yeah, okay. All right. So here's the thing. In these practices, we need the ability to recognize our own lenses and the cultural filters that we're wearing in any situation and learn to put on the lenses of someone else from a different background. All right, I see you. This is the last slide. Last three things I'm going to say. Here it is. Our capacities, this is from Churches, Cultures, and Leadership, a book here. Our capacities to understand each other, to share in work, and to hope requiring increasing consciousness about our own worldviews and a commitment to listen to and walk under the influence of others. And they say two things. One, for many in a dominant culture in which one element of the life world is entitlement, this can be a stressful situation or experience. But then they say, for those in the minority, the need for trust remains a challenge, especially if memories are saturated with wounds. This is the reality, but it doesn't get us off the hook of recognizing this core identity, living into the practice of it, to the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful stuff. Now, if you will turn in your book to the discussions, questions for discussion underneath Dr. Ince's presentation, you'll see three questions. So would one of you at your small table, at your small group at your table, read the first question? You have approximately 3 minutes for each question. So read the question, talk about it. Then somebody else read the second question, talk about it for 3 minutes. Then somebody read the third question. Now, please think through, if you can, what you just heard, because the first question might trip you up if you weren't paying attention. Go.
Color blind, or I don't see color, approach to unity and our identity in Christ, threaten that unity.